presence. I've never got too close to Him. But I have been close enough that I wanted to get back there again where I was. And He said to Moses, there is a place by me, and I like it there, where when He passes by, and we know His presence, and I thank God for that. And I get fearful of going on like Moses did. He said, Lord, I've got to see Your glory. You've got to show me Your presence. You've got to help me and let me know that You're going to go ahead of me, or I can't do it. And I feel that way a lot, and I held my wife's hand on the way up, and we prayed, and I asked the Lord to take anything out of me that He didn't want there, to help me to be what He wants me to be tonight. I don't feel as heavy right now to preach this as I did when God was giving it to me, but I have that to come back. That comes back to us, don't it? And so you pray for me tonight. God would help me to preach, and I don't want to take up too much time, but I want to be sensitive to what God wants. It's good to be here last night, and I heard y'all had a good service today, and I thank the Lord for it. I always get help when I come here and enjoy fellowshipping with people that I don't see sometimes from this meeting till the next time we meet together. Brother Ken said, that girl got saved last night, so over there bawling her eyes out. I looked over there, and boy, I just get happy thinking about it. Ain't that all right? Amen. Amen. Thank God. Amen. 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 That's all right. Amen. That's all right. Amen. Amen. We're singing, I'd Rather Have Jesus while ago, and I thought about saying, Brother Milby, just let him go. I can preach later. And, you know, whatever God wants. And I'm glad I'm saved tonight. I'm glad one Thursday night on bended knees, I was broken as I've ever been. I was able to give it all to God that night. That burden and guilt and shame rolled away, and peace come in my heart. And I didn't know quite exactly what had happened, and I kind of came to myself, and I started kind of thinking about my situation, and I kind of reset myself. I was just 12, and I kind of drawled up, you know, and I said, God, save me. And it was just as empty. He had done it. And it was done. And I rose to my feet, and my legs was asleep, and I somehow got up and stood, and I looked over at some folks, and I just did like that. And it just broke loose, you know. And one man said he got nodding salvation. That's the first thing I done before I made a lip profession. I just nodded my head like, yeah, it happened. And I testified that very night. The preacher at the end of the service, he said, anybody got anything on your heart? Well, my heart just went to flutter, and I felt like I needed to just glorify God. And I did that night, and God called me to preach. I was 12 then, and God started dealing with my heart in my late teenage, early mid-teenage years along there. And I surrendered when I was 19 to preach, and I've never been sorry. Never been sorry that I obeyed God and trust the Lord. I was losing a lot of the joy that I had in serving Him because I was out of His will. And a good friend of mine died, and I couldn't even cry. It's just like I'd got cold on God, and God just dried me up. And I remember sitting on the tailgate of my truck and how miserable I was. And I said, God, I'll do what You want me to do. And I surrendered to God, preached my first sermon in February of 98, I guess it was. And He's helped me ever since. Never in the world ever dreamed I'd be here tonight. But God's been good to us. And I thank you people for being good to me and praying for us and being my friend. And I'm glad of the people that God's put in my life. I feel like at times I've lost some folks, but God's always replaced them with somebody who was more true to me as a friend. More faithful. And that's wonderful, ain't it? To have people that you know will be there for you and be there with you. And many of you are like that to me. You may not know that, but I love you. If you want to stand and reverence the Word of God, I don't want to take up too much time. Sometimes it's good for me just speak from the heart for a few minutes, get settled in, and I'll try to preach what God's got on my heart. In Psalms 86, if you want to turn your Bibles, I just got one verse, and I'll not deal with the setting here in the Scripture. I'll not deal with anything much here that it's really talking about other than my thought. The content of my thought is in this one verse here. that I feel like God has laid on my heart. I pray tonight that God touch somebody and God receive honor and God would help us tonight. Verse 1 of Psalms 86, he said, "Bow down thine ear, O Lord, hear me, for I am poor and needy." That's what God's put on my heart. And God put this phrase on my heart about I am poor and needy. And I'll try to preach tonight, and I want to preach in a form of a question. Are you poor and needy tonight? That's what I want to preach on. Let's pray just a minute here. God would help us. We thank you, Lord, tonight for being good to us, for letting us be in this place tonight. We praise you. We ask you to use us now as a vessel, Lord. Let us honor you in all we do and say. Give us that power, Lord, only you can give us. Make me what I need to be, Lord, tonight before these people. I pray tonight I could please you, God. I know I can with your help. I pray you bless the hearers tonight, God. Give us receptive ears tonight. I pray your word would find a lodging in our heart. Thank you for working on me, God, with this, even before I try to preach it. Thank you for loving me and saving me and being good to me. Thank you for already touching the service tonight. And I pray you continue with us now for a while. Meet with us, God, in this hour we pray. In Jesus' sweet name, amen. Amen. He said, "Bow down thine ear, O Lord, hear me, for I am poor and needy." I wonder tonight as we think about this, if you are poor and needy, or have you really thought about what it really means to be poor and needy? I was shocked when God just sort of touched my heart with this thought about poor and needy, being poor and needy, how many times that this is mentioned in the Word of God as I begin to study and reference it and run references, how many times they are put in there together about being poor and needy. The writer here said, "I am poor and needy." He said, "Bow down thine ear to me." And ain't it wonderful when we're broken and we need God that God will just lend us an ear and say, "I'm here, child. I'm listening. Tell me what you need. I can supply it. Tell me your condition. I already know it, but I want to hear it from you. Just come honest to me and I've got exactly and will be everything that you need tonight." I'm thankful for the times in my life that I was poor and needy and saw myself as that. Now, it is very possible to be poor and needy and not know it. And I believe it. And when I say poor and needy, I'm not talking about not having a lot of fine things in life, even though that is where the meaning comes from. Poor means a lot of things. It's looked at in lots of ways, and you can bring a lot of thoughts from this word being poor. But it's kind of like this, and I've got some definitions here, you know. It's an extreme want. And I think about that. I think somebody being in extreme want, I think about the prodigal son. I think about him and what he done, how he had everything. His rich kid, you know, and he went his own way, and what he had and his monetary means of all, it went away pretty quick. You know, didn't last long. You know, had pleasure in sin, but just for a season, wound up down in the pig pen. That's where sin always take you. Farther than he really mean to go, wound up in the pig pen, and one day he began to be in want, and he didn't have just bare necessity, he didn't have anything. He got to thinking about his condition and said to himself, "Well, I've got servants, I'm a son, but my father's got servants who are faring better than I am," and he said, "They've got bread and enough to spare, so I believe I'll go back." He desired the crumbs or the husk that the swine did eat and would have fain have filled his belly. So he was not just kind of getting by, but he was in extreme want, and he was in a poor condition. And it's a shame for a rich man's son to be poor. And so I want to say tonight, if you're saved and you belong to God, you don't have to live a spiritually poor life. You can really set it and have the best that heaven's got if you'll come right and do right. And so I wonder tonight as we try to look into this and let God help us preach for a while, maybe when I get through you might realize that you're more poor than you thought you were. You know, a lot of the old timers said we was poor and didn't know it. And that's what they said, Brother Mitchell, because they sort of all lived the same. I mean, you know, when hard times come, I've heard people say when the depression was going on, we didn't really know it because we was just kind of living the same way. As poor as round home, they'd say, is old Job's turkey. Now, I never seen old Job's turkey, but I know what a poor turkey is. I know what that means. And when I think of that, I think about the dream Joseph had. And he saw, you know, the fat kind, and he saw the lean kind. And I know what a poor cow is. I mean, she's like skeleton with skin hanging on it. And you know, if you delight yourself in the Lord, he said you'd be made fat. And so you don't have to go around poor spiritually tonight. Just kind of getting by. Now we all go through highs and lows in our lives. But there's a God that blesses His children and keeps His children in shape, friend. And good and fit. And I think about Daniel when he said, I'll not defile myself. And he purposed in his heart that he wasn't going to defile himself with the king's meat. And they said, now listen, we have been given charge over you. And if we don't feed you what the king says, his wine and meat, and you show up poor or whatever and don't look like you ought to, it'll fall back on us and we'll be to pay for it. He said, well, you just trust God here. That's what I'm going to do. And he eat to water and pulse. And at the end of so many days, they tested them and brought them forth. And there's more fleshly and fatter than all the rest. Fair to look upon. So, you know, God's going to take care of His children. And if you're poor and needy tonight, you're living beneath your privileges as a child of God. This writer said, Lord, would you bow down your ear to me? For he said, I'm poor and needy. He says, God, I've got needs and I need help. And I know you're the one that can help me. And I'm glad I know that tonight. And so poor means to be an extreme want. It means not to have a lot of the fine things of life, to have maybe even the possibility of bare necessities, but yet not be rich. And so there's certain degrees of being poor. A lot of people think they're poor now, and they don't know what poor is. I mean, they got, you know, cell phones and a nice car, and they may not have everything the neighbors got, but they don't know what really poor is. But to them, they're poor. And then you've got people who have been raised pretty conservative and been taught values and understand that you ain't got to have a lot of things. And Christians who have understood, and God has brought them to the place where they've learned, as Paul said, he didn't start out that way, but he said, I've learned. And whatever state I am, how to be content. He didn't know it to start with, but he learned it as he grew in the Lord. He learned to be content with food and raiment. He learned how to be when he was empty, how to even be full. You know, he learned all of that. And we learn as we grow. There's a lot of people that think they probably reached where as far as they can and feel pretty comfortable where they're at, and they don't realize how poor they really are, how underprivileged they really are as a child of God. I think about the Laodicean church. They didn't know their condition. They was blind and naked and wretched and miserable and didn't even know it. And the Lord was speaking to them, and first of all, He walks in the church and says, I'm knocking at your door. Can you not hear me? And then the church ignoring God, it's our day. And He says, well, even if any man in the church will hear my voice and just one will open up, I'll have fellowship with him. And he says, you think that you're increased with goods? You say you are. You say you have need of nothing, but you know it's not. That you're wretched and miserable and naked and poor. And so a lot of people, friend, he said, I counsel thee to buy me gold, a trout in the fire, that thou mayest be rich. And he said, I'll give you white raiment, that you nakedness and that shame will not appear. And so tonight, if you're not wearing how the finest heaven's got to offer and the righteousness of God, and you're not enjoying your salvation, and you're not, you don't feel, you know, there's a song that says, I'm a poor rich man. And you don't see what really happened to me. I mean, I become a millionaire. And so when we get saved, our blessings are more spiritual than they are the physical realm. And we've got a lot of prosperity preachers who are killing people's faith. And some of the greatest Christians we ever know of or read about. And Hebrews 11 wondered about destitute and without proper attire and dwelt in caves. But they were still rich, friend. There's rich in faith. And they weren't home yet. And friend, when folks look at you and I, they may see poor, miserable people. But I'm telling you, we're not tonight. We're rich in the Lord. And people who are rich a lot of times in the world, they're not rich toward God. I think about the man in Luke chapter 12. How the Bible said, he said to himself, I've had a good year. He said, I've brought forth much fruit and I've not got nowhere to bestow my goods. And he said, I'm going to tear down my old barns and build bigger barns. I've got much laid up for many years. And the Bible says that God spoke to him and said, you're a fool to live this way. I know a lot of people that's living like a fool, and if they don't change, they're going to die like a fool. I believe Abner died a fool, didn't he? And a lot of people are going to die a fool's death because they're foolish. They won't receive the Word of God. They put their treasures in uncertain riches, and it will not buy you happiness, much the less the Bible said many have coveted after and have pierced themselves through with many sorrows. I'm telling you, God can make me and you happy with beans and taters and bread. Thank God, I'm glad I know the Lord. He said in this parable, he said, this is like a man who is had left up treasures for himself, but yet is not rich at the Word God tonight. And a lot of people got a lot of things, but they don't have the real thing, friend. And a lot of people are maybe not faring well, but their own welfare. And there's a big difference. God's children that's trusting Him are faring pretty well tonight. But those who are not are in distress and heartache tonight. He said, you're blind and don't even know it. You're poor and don't even know it. Wretched and don't even know it. He didn't say this to them, but he's saying that's why you gotta read all these books and find out how you can get help. You know, I'm not against getting help, but people bypass God all the time trying to get help. And the Lord is our helper. He's where it's at tonight. If you're poor and you ever want to get elevated in spiritual society, you're going to have to go where the blessings come out. You're going to have to go to God. You're going to have to go to the man who controls whether the windows of heaven are open or whether they're closed tonight. You're going to have to line up with His Word. You say, preacher, I feel like that. I'm just working my fingers to the bone. And I'm not getting anywhere. Well, I heard a story about Percy Ray. Loved this family. Said they was good to him and treated him right. But they just couldn't hardly ever make ends meet. And he said, I couldn't figure it out. Lord, these is good people. Why are they having such a hard time? He found out they didn't feel like they could afford the tithe. He said, they didn't feel like they could give God anything. They didn't have enough. And it's not that you can't afford to, it's that you cannot afford to. And so he began to talk to them and found out they'd been putting their money all their life in bags of holes in it. You know that's what it says, ain't it? I mean, you're poor and you can't bring it upon yourself. I mean, you say, preacher, you don't understand how I was raised. It's not got a lot to do with that raising. It's got more to do with that raising that you get when you get born again. That's the real one, friend. That you need to follow after. Don't follow after that natural and the flesh, but line up with your spiritual birth and that inward call that brings you to wholeness, that calls you out of the world and makes you understand that all them trinkets and things of the world are just junk. You ever seen as much junk in your life, as much plastic and as much fake stuff? I mean, if you want a toy, you've got to go pre-70 to get one. I mean, my little 16-month-old girl could demolish anything that they're putting out now. And it's not made of nothing. And that's the same way religion has got. It's a fake. It's not made of anything. It don't stand the test. I mean, it's a cheap, friend. But what comes from heaven is made to last. I'm glad of that tonight. Are you poor and needy tonight? You know, poor is something. I mean, really something to be poor. Really poor. And realize it.
But if you realize you are, you can fit about Psalms, what it is, 34 and 6, is it? This poor man cried. And the Lord saved him or helped him. Lord, come to him and helped him out of all his troubles. And he saved him. That could be saving grace, you know. One sense of the meaning being poor in Webster's dictionary in theology is to be destitute of saving grace. And a lot of people, you know, the Bible said blessed are the poor in spirit. That means meek and lowly. And the Beatitudes and coming to God and understanding that apart from Him, we have no self-worth. We're poor and wretched in our own self. But when we come to God, He takes that we have that's unworth anything and replaces it with something good. And makes us feel happy to be one of His children. Glad to be a child of the King. I like recitations and songs and recitations and everyday life stories. And it's common, you know, story. But I really do, honestly. I like the story about the man, you know, who didn't have money for groceries, but then later on come in to pay for groceries. And he said, I told you no credit here. But he's like, my father just sold one of his cows. You know, the Lord owns a cattle on a thousand hills. And God impressed the fellow to help the fellow out when he sold his cows. So God sort of picked him up a little bit in society. And I've had God to do that for me. I've had God to meet my needs that, I've just sort of learned to just say, God took care of that over there. He's going to take care of this here. I don't have a money tree in the backyard, but I got a God that knows my needs before I pray. And when I'm poor, and when I feel needy, I can go to God and get the help I need. If it's big enough to concern me, my heart, my feelings, anything about me, God cares about it. Nothing too little now. I've learned that if it's bothering me, it's all right. If it seems too little to me, God still cares about it. I can take it to God. Are you poor or needy tonight? You know, you look at folks, and you sort of look at them, and you think, They maybe look poor. But you know they could be poorer than you know. You know, people did not used to go town in their pajamas, folks. Did they, Brother Mitchell? They didn't do that. Go to college in their pajamas. Them old farmers, when I was a boy, they sold their tobacco. I know that's a sad subject with some of them, but they did. I'm just telling the story. When they sold their tobacco, they some of them put on rough overalls, try to make it bring more. I know of them that done it. Put a little old poor kid up there and think it'd have mercy on them. It'd bring more. And some of them, when they'd go to the bank, put on a good old clean. They had the dignity inside. Not their own kind of pride, you know. They had self-worth. They knew that they need to be respectful and act like it. And a lot of them people's poor, really. But they knew that they was going to do the best they could and they made good use of what they had. So a lot of times you can't look at somebody. And I've seen a lot of people that it looked like they're faring well. But I read, and some of you helped me with this afterwards. Leviticus is hard for me to understand. Some of it. But in Leviticus 27, it's talking about some offerings and some things there. And I was studying about being poor, and I seen the word poor. One time in the Bible. One time, brother. Poor. And I thought, you know, you can be poorer than poor. And I got to looking at that, Brother Pace. And that word, I read it, and it said, you know, you can estimate the people and the value, he says. Read it. Leviticus 27. He says, estimate. I was coming up the road and I said to my wife, I said, now honey, if I told you, if I said poor, would you correct me? Would you say that's not really a word? She said, well, I'd probably think it's a word, but it may not be a word. We're just country folks, but it is a word. It's in the Bible. And you know, poor means evidently, if you think someone's poor, they're really not more poor than you thought. And so he said, if you estimate and you judge and you find out that the man is really poorer than you thought. Oh, some of you are poorer than you realize you are. I look at some of you and I think you've got a need, but your need's even greater than I can see. Your need's greater than you can see. You don't understand tonight how poor you are. I mean, you're in extreme woe tonight. You need help from heaven. You're just barely getting by. And you think what you're doing is pretty good. You don't understand. There's another level. There's another plane that you can get to where a lot of these things that's hindering you, you can lay them down. You can let it go. There's a God that says, bring it to me. I've got something better. And you carry all this stuff around. And you, it's like someone who don't understand how to manage their time or manage their money. Yeah, you don't understand that there's a God that will give you so much more if you learn how to handle what He's given you already. And our estimated value, if we as men, we preach the church in the shape she's in, it's possible that she's in worse shape than we even think she's in. We look at the people and we estimate their condition and we want to know and we get a yearning in our hearts to help people, and the possibility is it's worse than we think. I got a funeral Friday at 2 o'clock of a lady that was coming to our church, and I knew it was bad. It's worse than I thought it was. Yes, he ended it all while we was at church on Sunday morning. It's worse, brother. I thought it was, Brother Pace. I mean, it's bad, and we see folks, and we can't hardly estimate. We can't hardly judge. We try to sum it up. You better round it up and rest it around it down. People are poor. We're poor. Our country, we're lean when it comes to walking. We're on the lean side. I mean, we ain't been sitting at the table, and it's easy to tell.
Yes,
yes sir, we're poor and we're needy. Let's see what it says. Needy don't just mean poor. It means very poor. It means in distress of a want that you got. Have you got a want and a need in your heart, and you're just reaching and grabbing and trying to get help? Here it is for you. He said, Lord, will you bow down your ear to me, God? Would you lean over? Would you lean over, God, and listen to my cry and hear me tonight? I'm poor and needy. Are you poor and needy tonight? Have you got a want? He's talking in the Deuteronomy, maybe 15, 14, and 25 maybe, of Hebrew servants. And he says to them, if you've got a servant and he's poor and needy, he said, don't harden your hand toward him. He said, if you've got a servant that's poor and needy, he said, open them wide. He says, let him know that you've got help for him. Don't distress him if he's a servant. He said, be good to him. I say to that, our God is a great paymaster. God's never held back from me when I come to Him. I said, God, I've done all I can do, and I've served You, God, out of the best of my ability. Boy, He's never held back, Brother Milton. No, sir. He's held her out. Like old Brother Gregory did when I was a little boy. I'd walk up on the church steps. He'd reach in his pocket, pull out a big handful of candy. Get what you want, kids. That's what God does. That big old hand of God comes down and lays on the altar. Whatever you need, God's got it. Here it is. He stretched forth His hand. That virtuous woman in Proverbs 31, that's what it says about her. She stretches forth. She reaches forth her hand, yea, to the poor. Those who are needy. Oh, we need to be reaching out, don't we? That man reached out every day at that gate called Beautiful. He thought he needed just enough to get him to the next day. But God's got enough to get you to the next world. Yes, sir. He said, I just enough. Just a little bit of alms and I'll be satisfied. Peter said, I ain't got no silver and I ain't got no gold. But what I've got comes from heaven. Had that apostolic power. And he said, such as I have, give out of thee. In the name of Jesus. Rise up and walk. Yeah, poor. Some of you don't understand you're poor. And your excuses are poor. That's another definition of poor. Poor excuses. Yeah. I went to hear a fellow preacher a while back. And he was he's preaching about being restored. And he come down the aisle. He said, Brother, I remember when you need to get restored. He said, you used to be one of the persons in the altar here. He said, you come here and pray with us. And boy, God would bless you. And you drifted out. He said, I seen you down at Walmart one day. And I said, Brother, we miss you at the church. And he said, you told me why you hadn't been there. And I said, that's a poor excuse. He said, made you mad at first. God wouldn't leave you alone. He said, you're back now. You've been restored. Boy, that's a message, ain't it? I'm glad God can restore you. I'm glad God can bring you back. You say, preacher, I remember what it's like. You know, to feel that and have that joy and feel that and understand that. And God can make you feel that again. He's rich unto all of them that call upon Him. Are you poor and needy tonight? I believe God's stretching forth His hands to you. I believe that. I believe His calling come. I believe that tonight. If you're poor and needy, say, preacher, I need help with my kids. God can give you help with your kids. Say, preacher, I need help with my troubles, my burdens. God can help you with that. Say, preacher, I've got myself in a mess. And I don't know, you know, God can help you with that. It don't matter what your need is, He's able to supply it to you. Are you poor tonight and needy? Are you really worse than you thought you was? Are you very poor? Are you poor? Let's see here. Let's see. Some people don't like you. Use that. You know, one of the signs of Christ was that the poor had the gospel preached to them. Wasn't it? One of the signs of Christ. I thought about through the Bible. I close with this, I guess. I thought about through the Bible how that people, a lot of times God's people's poor. But really poor. Literally poor. And how they, it was a lot of crying, you know, in their afflictions. And their distress. And they would cry out to God. God would hear them. And sometimes they was hungry. And God fed them. Sometimes they're thirsty. And God watered them. And then all of that was a foreshadow, wasn't it? You know, they prayed and God sent bread from heaven. And Christ said, your fathers did eat bread from heaven. That was in Moses' day. But He said, I am the bread that's come down from heaven. He also said to the woman at the well, she said, our fathers, they drank of this water and drunk at this well for many, many years. He says, yes, that's true. If you drink of this water, you'll thirst again. He said, I've got living water that I can give you that you'll never thirst again. And I believe tonight that some people honestly fit that category of just destitute of saving grace. And you're wearing yourself out trying to make spiritual ends meet. You can't never get them tied. It just don't never reach. You stretch and pull and get so close and it slips out of your hands. That's because you're trying in your own might and in your own self. And maybe you went somewhere where you was poor and needy, and you went to the altar, and you tried to get to God, but somebody stepped in between you and God, tried to help God out a little bit. Amen. I seen that here a while back. Well, I'm really concerned that a lot of people are poor and needy and don't know it. They just trying, old religion dead, and poor, and they holler and can't shout. Yes. I mean, Sister Cox said, I was at the funeral home and my brother died and had another brother that was lost and we'd been trying to help him and tell him about God and he didn't want nothing to do with God. And she said, I was up there visiting and you got to know Sister Cox to understand this story, really. And one day she said, I was in there. I said, I heard something back down the hall. And she said, it caught my attention. She said, that's not a ball game holler. She said, that's different. She said, I run out and look down the hall and here he comes. He got saved. Somewhere's out in the woods, out in the field somewhere. There's the difference. A lot of times, honestly, when I shout, it's when I'm trying not to. Honestly, I'm being honest and I don't feel like I'm ashamed of God. But shouting is a holy thing. I believe that. It's a real thing and we ought to do more of it. Praising God, you know, is commanded for us to do. And we've got the victory, so we don't have to wait to shout. Victory's done been given to us through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So we can shout the victory. But you understand what I'm saying? The difference in having fool's gold and wearing your teeth out on it, grinding on it, trying to figure out what's real or not. Yes, sir. Trying it out, and if it won't bring you peace tonight, if it won't bring you joy, and you're going to have your troubles if you get saved, but if there ain't a big hand every now and then reaches down on you and tugs on you and whispers in your ear some advice and helps you along, you're pretty poor, I'd say. You're poor enough to come and pray. You're poor enough to lay your pride down. You know, a lot of people are too prideful to admit they're poor. You let that pride stand in your way of getting to God if you ain't careful. Pride goeth before the fall in a haughty spirit. That's what he meant. Blessed are the poor in spirit. I'm so glad God broke my wheel. God brought me down and brought me to a place where I saw my need and said, God, I'm poor and needy. And I need you more than anything. I was very poor. I was poorer when that light of that gospel shined on me. I was poorer than I thought I was. It was, you know, the old song says, what would I have done? Salvation had not been free. I love that song, When the Beggar Met the King, don't you?
Yeah.
Oh, what a happy night in my life. When heaven come down in my heart. And joy come in my heart. I went through a phase at a young age, about 16. And I wanted some wheels for my truck. I went through that. You know, now I don't care about my wheels. I've understood that's just a fleshly phase. I worried about things then that I don't even care about now. Because they didn't bring me happiness. They always cost me more. Dad tried to tell me that, but he couldn't tell me. I had to live and learn. A lot of things you got to live and learn. Boy, but when you do a bought lesson, you don't forget, do you? You don't forget it. I pray tonight if you've got a need, and you're poor and needy tonight, lost and undone without God, say, preacher, I don't believe what I've got's any good. I can't look in and see. But you know in your heart what it does for you. Are you satisfied? My sister's here. She got a little mixed up about her salvation. She went to the altar. Back to the altar, we call it in our area. And I've had to go back to the altar a lot of times. She went back to the altar and thought maybe what she had and got in the bedroom that day, Mom come running out and said, your sister's lost. She tells me she's lost. I mean, it broke. We all broke. Oh, God, she's lost. And she just made her altar at the end of the bed. Started praying. Mama said, get on the phone and call Miss Rachel and call Miss Nina. Miss Nina fasted one day a week and prayed. My sister knew that and she didn't brag about it. She was a holy woman and taught my sister piano lessons. And she said, I want Miss Nina praying for me. Well, Miss Nina couldn't help her, really, but I like good praying people. I like what went on around the altar last night. I mean, there's a war going on over that girl's soul. I said I was going to quit a while ago, and I'm going to try to quit right here. But she come out of there bright, wasn't long, and I called Miss Nina, and you know, she was telling folks, and I was telling folks. She said, well, the way I felt, I didn't think it'd be long. I believed God would save her. So later in life, you know, and her Christian growth got hindered a little. She's sitting back there, but she came to the altar again. Tried to get something else. Tried to lay the foundation again. And the preacher said, I'll tell you right now, pretty good advice, he said. If you're trying to hold on to a flimsy profession or something other than the past, and you don't feel like you've gotten it, just forget it and throw it away. Just forget it. Get rid of it. It ain't no good anyway. And she said, I thought, Lord, I can't throw that experience away. It was too real. I can't do that. And that settled it right there. If you really get saved, there's a happening in your life and an experience that you can't shuck it off. I even heard a man said, all my buddies went to the... I thought I'd go back, and I tried, but I couldn't. Yeah, he said, I tried, but God wouldn't let me. Made me miserable when I tried. That's a good sign, ain't it? It's not good to have to learn it the hard way, but if, you know, some people don't learn the easy way, God can teach us the hard way. I'm glad we've got a God that loves us. He scourgeth every son. And so, it may not be that you are destitute of saving grace. But it could just be that you're living way beneath your privileges as a child of God. That you just need to add to your faith. Like Peter said, that you need to pick up and go on to perfection. That you need to understand that God wants you to grow out of that baby stage and He wants to set you at His table where the real meat of God is, where them beans and taters and steak and cornbread is. Where you don't have to try to get by on a little old popsicle. Yeah, it melts and things get hot. And that's what a lot of people are doing. For some reason they're satisfied with that. I don't know why we're so easily satisfied when we can have the best and have God to offer us the best that heaven's got. So I really do need to quit tonight. But I love you tonight. I appreciate the Lord and His help. Are you poor and needy? That's my message. God bless you.